Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hello, everybody. Todd Starnes here. Welcome, America, to the Todd Starnes radio program. We have a terrific show for you today. And guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, here on this radio program, we pay our bills. We don't expect you to fork over any money. That's not how we roll here. We take personal responsibility. We meet and honor our obligations here on the Todd Starnes radio program. I just wanted to get that out of the way there, just in case there was any confusion out there. So look, I want to we've got to talk about this student loan forgiveness plan. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing forgivable about this. As a matter of fact, Biden isn't forgiving anything. He's simply transferring the debt of these deadbeat college students on to hardworking American citizens. This is some sort of like a dark side, evil, alternate universe Robin Hood, where they are stealing from the taxpayers and giving to the woke. And we went over these numbers yesterday, and it's really mind-boggling. But I think now that I've had a chance to think about this, I've had a chance to stew, to percolate, to marinate on what we learned yesterday. I've come up with a couple of thoughts here. First of all, to everyone's surprise, the people, the demographic most likely not to repay their loans, in fact, are the people who can afford to repay their loans. The people that are repaying their loans happen to be middle class, working class, even lower income people. So they're meeting their obligations while the wealthy are not. And I have a theory about this. I think it's about upbringing. I think this is something that is learned from mom and dad. And mom and dad, by and large, are teaching these middle-class moms and dads and working-class moms and dads are teaching their kids that if you go out there and you take out a loan, you sign your name on the dotted line, then you have to meet that obligation. And you've got to do whatever it takes to meet that obligation. If it means taking a second or a third job, then you got to do it. Now, look, I grew up in a blue-collar home. My dad was an electrician. He didn't want to go to college. And there was a time when dad did really well. He was an electrician. And things were going good in the Starnes household. Mom was a stay-at-home mom. She was a housekeeper, and she, the domestic goddess, as dad called her. And she raised us. And dad went to go work. Well, there was a time back in the 70s, and you remember this if you grew up during the Carter years, where the economy took a tumble, and dad lost his job, and times were tough. But my dad didn't go looking for a handout. You know what he did? He had to go and get two jobs, and at one time he was working three jobs. And why did he do that? Did he do it because he just wanted to work all the time? No. He had obligations. He knew that there were bills that had to be paid. You had to put food on the table. You had to pay the mortgage. So dad did what it took to get that done. That's the American way. That's the American spirit. You work your butt off. You go to some of these European countries where everybody bathes in the cologne and they drink wine all day and they take the siestas and they work, what, 3 hours a day? But that's not who we are as Americans. We bust our butts. We do what needs to be done. We take care of our responsibilities. There was a time in this country where men were men of their word. When there was a handshake deal, that's all you needed. You didn't need to sign some sort of a contract. A man's word meant something. At least that's the way it used to be. But that's not the way it is now. But I think a lot of those things are not being taught to these young kids that maybe are growing up in the McMansions. They've got the, you know, the parents are members of the country club. They get everything handed to them on some sort of a silver platter. And these are the same people, by the way, who are become establishment Republicans. They hang out at the country clubs. They don't care about people like you or me. They look at us as servants. That's how the establishment Republican looks at all of us conservatives. The hardworking people. The Chamber of Commerce crowd. That's who they are. That's who they bow down to, not us. So anyway, I'm going through all of this, and somebody sent me a note last night and said, Starnes, you got to understand something. It's not just the people taking out the loans. The entire university and college system, that military-industrial complex, well, this is an academic complex, is completely corrupt, and it has nothing to do with the woke ideology or the fact they're raising a generation of Americans to hate America. There's a lot more going on there. The amount of money that is being squandered on crap, and I'm talking crapola, it's unbelievable. Now, Grace Baker, you just graduated a couple of years ago. You went to a university in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
Did you live on campus or did you commute?
I lived on campus, and then I lived off campus with a couple of girls.
I'm curious, what was your experience like living in the dorms?
Oof. It was a modest dorm. I had a decent roommate, and, you know, it was a nice experience, but it was nothing fabulous. I mean, you had the basic cot bed, you had brick walls, you had to bring your own, you know, mini fridge, a little sink, nothing fancy, though, really.
So it's pretty much bare bones.
It was bare bones, because, 100%.
Yeah, so you're the anomaly, because a lot of these schools now have amenities.
Yeah, no, we didn't have amenities. Not in the building, no.
I mean, back in the day, it was like you didn't have a private room. You had, you know, two, at least another roommate. Some cases,
yes,
you had four guys in there. And then you had the bathroom and the showers that were down the hall.
Yep, that's what I had.
All right, so
down
there
the
you
hall.
Go. All
so
right.
It was, you know.
So bare bones.
Bare bones.
That's not the way it is in a lot of these schools, where they're not universities, they're resorts.
I know. I read about some of them, and I'm like, wow.
We're having to pay for all of this. Why should we have to pay for the gender studies majors and the goat yoga people?
Is that a thing, goat yoga?
It's a thing.
Oh.
Google it. It's a thing on college campuses.
How dare I get a normal degree?
There are some schools that are actually advertising infinity pools. Now you say, what is an infinity pool? Those are rooftop pools that make it look like you're going
to
swim over the edge.
Which is a little
beautiful.
Scary to me,
I mean, these are, you would expect that at some sort of a high-end posh resort, not the local university or college. But this is what they're doing. They're squandering our tax money.
Who needs to go on a vacation when you can just go to college?
Yes.
Just to the actual campus, that is.
No, exactly. I mean, when you look at all the buildings going up, we're paying for all of that stuff.
That's true.
Michigan Technological University. They have an on-campus ski resort. 112 acres of ski-friendly terrain. Pomona College. They have an annual ski beach day. They actually have buses that take the college kids to the beach and a mountain resort for fun in the snow and the ocean. Oh, that sounds like a lovely day. Boston University. Look, some of these schools are private. I get it. Boston University, 26-story glass dorm, a condo with private bathrooms, walk-in closets, and you get your own complimentary flat-screen TV. Pretty snazzy. The University of Missouri. You guys have a lazy river that runs through campus. There's also a sauna and whirlpool, hot tubs, and an on-campus beach club. There's also a racquetball court and various other full courts for endless games. This is unbelievable stuff here. The University of Wisconsin in Madison. The Student Union has a bowling alley, art gallery, climbing wall, billiard hall, a movie theater, various restaurants, an entire hotel, and a banquet hall. That's sort of snazzy. Western Washington University. They have an outdoor center that includes camping, kayaking, ice picking, and more. It's an adventurer's dream college. The University of California, Santa Cruz. They have gorgeous outdoor space. Students enjoy a school aquarium, ropes course, and rock climbing walls. How about this? The University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. The North Quad, a hybrid dorm and academic building specifically designed for international kids. They have nice dining halls, tech-savvy classrooms. They, too, have a lazy river. I guess now that's the thing. If you don't have a lazy river, sorry, can't go to school there. The University of Central Florida. You folks have a sushi bar on campus and cupcake trucks. You have a reflection pond, on-campus stables, and a luxurious renovated fitness center. And it goes on and on and on. This is all paid for with our tax dollars. And you wonder why it costs so much money to go to school to get a degree. You're not sending your kid off to college in some sort of a concrete block dorm anymore. You're sending them off to the Ritz-Carlton. This is nonsense. But our tax dollars are paying for all of this. Here's what needs to happen. All of these kids who went to, well, let's just say, we'll say just for the sake of Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And by the way, a lot of these schools have sex weeks. They're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to turn your child into a pervert. Do you really want that, America? Here's what I say. The University of Tennessee needs to figure out, okay, which students defaulted on the loans? Which students have not paid their student loans? Instead of making hardworking people pay that bill, what we ought to be doing, and this is just an idea, is taking that money out of the school's endowment. Because there is some responsibility that the university must bear here. And I know they're very busy and it takes a lot of people. You got to hire the masseuses and you got to hire the pool cleaners. And I get all that. I get it. But at the same time, don't these universities have a responsibility to make sure that the people that they have invited to come and study at their school can actually afford to pay the bill? Now you think about this for a moment. There are people, just like my dad, who went out there and worked two or three jobs. You went out there and did the same thing to pay your bill. You went to college, you got your degree, and you're busting your butt. As a matter of fact, you have a job in your career field, but you're taking a second job just to pay off that loan debt. You're eating generic peanut butter, not even the Peter Pan or the Jif. You're eating the off-brand peanut butter. Creamy, you can't even afford the crunchy. No, you're eating the cheap peanut butter. You're eating the ramen noodles. You're not even going out to McDonald's. McDonald's, that's a night out on the town for you because all of your money is going to pay what you owe. And then there are some of you out there, and you said, "Yeah, college is not for me. I want to go to a trade school. I want to be an entrepreneur, and so I'm just going to jump right on in there and claim my American dream." You guys don't owe any debt. And yet here you are. You've made the right choices. You've made the responsible choices in your life. And Joe Biden and the Democrats are basically saying, F you. That's what Joe Biden is saying to all of you folks. This is nothing more than a government-sponsored and sanctioned bribe. That's what this is. And by the way, he's not finished. He's going to be throwing out the red carpet for the illegal alien dreamers. And we'll get to more of that a little bit later. But you guys did the right thing. And now you're going to have to turn around and you're going to have to pay the bill for all of these deadbeats who refuse to pay what they owe. Is that right, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS.
But what about President Biden's campaign to forgive or cancel $10,000 in student debt? Pardon me. What is the message to those people who feel that he's yet to follow through on that promise?
If Congress sends him a bill, he's happy to sign it. They haven't sent him a bill on that yet.
People think that the President of the United States, is this more on the subject than you ever want to know? Will you let me know? People think that the President of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, but he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
All right, that's Happy Hour Pelosi and circle back Psaki there, talking about Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, Joe Biden, saying just last year that Biden does not have the authority to do what he did yesterday. Kay writes in, Todd, my son did landscaping till he found an electrical engineering job after he graduated. He did what he had to do to pay that loan and bills. Kay, good for you. Good for your son. And I think there are a lot of other people. As a matter of fact, I think there are a lot of college kids out there who are busting their butts paying back their loans. And they're bothered by this. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's start in Minnesota. Brian, listening to us today. Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Good to be on your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I had a beautiful daughter at 22, and guess what I did? I went to school full-time. I was working full-time because no one else is going to pay the bills but me. And I graduated with my bachelor's degree, and then you start paying back the loan, right? So my problem is that we're paying other people, you know, instead of the colleges. Why are the tax dollars paying it when the colleges have billions of dollars sometimes, and they should be paying these loans, or at least half of the bill?
It's a great question, Brian, and you're right. Many of these public universities, they have the endowments. And that's where that money ought to come out of. You know, if they want to forgive those loans, great, take it out of the endowment, but don't blame the American taxpayer. I didn't force anybody to go to college.
Yeah, it was my choice. And, you know, honestly, that's one of the reasons why I wrote my Knowledge Center book series, was because I wanted to prevent other students from making a lot of the mistakes that I made when I was younger. And, you know, that's just what you have to do. You have to speak and talk to the youth and tell them, hey, college is not the only option, even though you might think that at 17 and 18, because a lot of these counselors, teachers, they almost bully you into going to college, and they don't tell you that, hey, when you're 22, 25, you're going to have another $500 bill in the budget that you won't be able to afford. And they basically lie to these 17 and 18-year-olds, and I think it's disgusting.
Well, Brian, I appreciate your call, and we got to run to a break here. I will say this. I know some parents out there are now even suggesting their kids just take a year off. You graduate high school, take a year off, get a job, see how you like the job, figure out what you want to do with your life, because sometimes you're just not sure. I mean, sometimes I've known college students. They go out there. They jump right into college. They get their degree, and then they realize, you know, that's not really what I wanted to do with my life. So don't buy into Barack Obama's mandate that every person in America has to go to college. It's a lie. All right, going right back to the phones here. Hang tight, everybody. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. Grace Baker, South Dakota State University, they've got their own dairy bar.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's got to be a lot of fun, unless you're lactose intolerant.
Yeah, but, and that kind of stinks.
They make and sell over 60 ice cream flavors. The Food Network says it's some of the best, and they say that's where cookies and cream was created, right?
Oh,
there at
wow.
San Diego State at their own official dairy bar.
Do you think they have an ice cream tasting class?
Ooh.
You can take some interesting electives.
That would be a good major. That would be a great...
official ice cream tester.
See, back when I was in college, you know what our dairy bar was? We got those little, like, paper milk cups, the cartons. That's what we got.
Oh.
And on Friday, you got chocolate milk if you were lucky.
Oh, wow. First come, first serve, right?
High Point University, which is a private school, so we're not going to... I won't... You know, look, if you go to a private school, you're going to pay for what you're going to pay for. They have a high-end private steakhouse.
Dang.
No jeans policy.
Take your classmate out for dinner.
Oh, that reminds me. So a couple of days ago, we were telling folks about the crisis over at Houston's, which is a popular restaurant chain here in the Memphis area. They've got them all over America. Anyway, Houston's, you had a black cop and his wife, who's a black principal, and they were asked to leave because they said someone in the party smelled like marijuana smoke. And, of course, they immediately accused the staff of being racist. And they asked him to leave, and it's a big thing now. So, Grace, I told you I was going to go there for lunch.
You did.
So I go there, and now it's like it's snowballing. Other people are saying, oh, yes, we had a similar experience, blah, blah, blah. So I walk into the restaurant. The security guard, black. The hostess, black. Most of the people having a meal there at the lunch hour, black. So the idea that Houston's is racist is just ridiculous.
Probably a little bit of a stretch.
So anyway, I went in and I sat down and they said, can we get you something to drink? I said, I'd like an iced tea, please, because I was thirsty. And I love iced tea. So I got I said, I would like to speak to the manager.
Uh-oh.
And so the poor waitress kind of freaked out.
Of course.
But anyway, there's another component of this story. So the local Fox TV affiliate, and they're as woke as the day is long, they need to go ahead and remove the Fox emblem from their building because they're that liberal.
CNN 13.
So it is. Like Channel 13's, this is CNN. And so the Fox 13, and these people are sleazy over at Fox 13 in Memphis. They send a news crew, and they barge in like they're, I don't know, like it's like Saddam Hussein, you know, and you're barging into his palace there in Baghdad with the U.S. Armed Forces. They came armed with a reporter and a camera person and the microphone demanding to know, you know, I don't know, where the racist travesty was. So anyway, the manager said, you can't do that. You don't have our permission to be in here.
Private
property. If you want to go film, you go stand on the public sidewalk.
So they literally kicked him to the
literally
curb.
Literally kicked him out of the restaurant and kicked him to the curb, Grace Baker. You're correct.
Very brave.
So anyway, the manager comes and says, sir, how can I help you? And you know that, and they just looked, this manager looked like they had been through a war that you could tell. Oh. I mean, because they've been getting pounded.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been getting a lot of phone calls.
Pounded. And the only reason I know the story was a load of crapola from the get-go is because I eat there at least once or twice a week.
You do.
And I know these people. All good people. So the manager's like, how can I help you, sir? And I said, well, look, I said, I heard what you guys did to that Fox 13 crew. You literally, one of the managers physically threw them out of the building. Yes, sir, how can we help you, sir? And I said, that was the greatest thing I've heard all week. And I said, I just want to personally shake the hand of the manager who was responsible for doing that. And I explained, I said, I eat here all the time. I know you guys are good-hearted people. You're not racist. You know, you guys don't have like a secret Klan meeting in the kitchen. I didn't say that part. But I said, I just want to shake the hand of the person who threw those godless, heathen, woke morons from Fox 13 out onto the sidewalk. I want to shake that person's hand. I didn't say it that loud.
He shake your hand?
So it's a lady.
Oh,
the lady manager.
Sorry.
And so she's holding an extra menu, and she slides her hand so nobody can see. She slides her hand under the menu and shakes my hand. She was the
clever
one. I'm like, wow. And so then I gave her a coffee mug, one of our beautiful new coffee mugs, gave her the coffee mug, and I put my business card with my personal contact information, which is very hard to get.
It is.
You know, a lot of people want to get it.
Oh, they do, and I say no.
I know you do. I see you over there. And so I said, here is my card. And I said, anybody else tries to come in that front door, anybody else tries to accuse you guys of being racist, you call me. We're going to have your back. And she got a little emotional.
Misty.
She said, thank you very much.
Aww.
Had a good meal.
Probably made her day.
I was kind of thinking they were going to slip me a free dessert or something, but that didn't happen.
Now,
I wouldn't have accepted
it
anyway.
Not that far.
So the check comes, and you know, everybody's on edge now. And so I actually tipped the check. So because that's what you got to do. Got to take care of the folks serving you at those restaurants.
Take care of the people taking care of you.
Anyway, what were you talking about? Oh, yeah, these schools.
Amenities.
You know what? Let's go to Roger, who's been holding on from forever from WLOB. That's Ray Richardson Country in the great state of Maine. Roger, what's on your mind?
Well, happy Friday to you, Todd.
It's technically Thursday, Roger, but yeah, happy. I hate to break that to you, pal.
Well, I guess I'm in a hurry. Todd, I just wanted to say hello and let you know I live in Portland. Portland is very left. I am very right. And we are right. These guys are poking the bear in a big way. And I think come voting time, things are going to change. Our property taxes here have gone up because of the shortfall of funding for the sanctuary city asylum seekers that keep pouring in here. My wife is an immigrant. I'm an immigrant. We both were students. We've both had to pay our way. We had to pay our way when we came into the country. I'm paying $2 more a gallon for gas, even though it's coming down than I was 2 years ago. I just got my electric bill for this month. Normally during the summer, my electric bill runs about $150. $356 this month. Todd, it ain't gonna last. These guys are gonna wake up to some very angry people very shortly, and I think you're gonna see some changes happen.
Well, I hope we do, Roger, but I will say this, and I appreciate your call, and God bless you, and thank you for coming to this country, and we're just honored to count you as a fellow countryman now, you and your wife. But I am concerned about the division in this country, which is becoming more and more pronounced every day. Jesse Waters the other day was raising some concerns about an election on Tuesday in New York. There was a congressional race that should have gone for the Republicans, and it did not. And Waters, Newsweek actually has a story here. This was the race with Marcus Molinaro. It's a New York special House election. So this was not a primary. This was an election. And Molinaro was supposed to be, was actually leading in the polls and was supposed to win. It would have been a flip. So it was already a Democrat seat. But the Democrat, Pat Ryan, pulled out the victory there. And Waters is saying that this was a very concerning issue for Republicans. And the reason why is because the Democrats made abortion the issue in that congressional race. Now, that in and of itself is not that concerning because, again, it is a Democrat district. But the fact that up until they made abortion the issue, the Republican was ahead, that's a little disconcerting. I will say that in Memphis, we had a big election in August, and there was a report from Republicans that they noticed a number of young female voters going to the polls. And there's been some speculation that the abortion issue is what drove a lot of young females out to vote. And in some cases, they were able to swing those elections, those races. Look at what just happened in Kansas, where you had, and Kansas is the most pro-life, one of the most pro-life states in the nation, and you had a pro-life law literally go down in flames. All that to say that we cannot take anything for granted, and you got to play smart here. I mean, everybody's got to play smart. You can't come out there, and your campaign messaging cannot be that, well, you cannot be. And there's really no such thing as an extremist on the pro-life side. Life is life no matter what. But you got to play smart here, and you got to play smart politics. And if you don't, you're going to lose. And that's what happened in Kansas. That's what happened in New York. That may be what happened in the Memphis area. So do not be surprised if this is a lot closer in the midterm elections than we're being led to believe. I'm still hopeful that there's going to be a red wave, but I do see a path where the Republicans could lose this. And the path is, and I'll explain this, and I don't want to overly alarm you. I just want to encourage you to get out and vote on Election Day. But the reality is you are beginning to see Joe Biden's polling numbers start to slightly improve. They're still on the toilet. There's a dumpster fire burning on every street corner in America right now. But Biden's numbers are going up. Up next, and his numbers will go up as a result of the bribe here that he's giving to all of these deadbeat college kids. Up next is going to be the illegal aliens. And he is going to try and codify with legislation to protect the dreamers, these so-called illegal alien dreamers. So those, you can expect more of that. I mean, the president's going to use the power of the White House to try and do things that will get out the vote in the midterm elections. Right now, the Republicans don't have a unified message. Right now, the Republicans are fighting each other. And it's really not so much they're fighting each other. You've got one side of the Republican Party trying to destroy the other side. So it's really not even a fight. Because the conservatives are out there saying, hey, we've got to start rallying around these big issues like crime and the border. America first. But the establishment wing of the party is more interested in stopping Donald Trump, no matter the cost. And there is a lot of scuttlebutt right now in Washington, D.C., that Mitch McConnell is willing to give up the Senate. In other words, willing to sacrifice control of the Senate if it stops Donald Trump from being elected, from running for office in 2024. If they keep this up, not only will they lose the Senate, they could very well lose the House of Representatives. It's that serious of an issue. So the Republicans, they got to get it together. And we've got to unify on a very clear message. And there is no unified message right now. It ought to be crime. It ought to be these woke school boards. You can get three or four issues. What was it they were talking about weeks ago? A contract with America. you elect Republicans, here's what you're going to get. I would recommend every single state, every single local district, everybody run on that platform because it's a winning platform. We're all dealing with off-the-charts crime in our neighborhoods. We're dealing with schools that have gone woke. We're dealing with illegals that are flooding into our cities. All of us are dealing with these issues. But the Republicans are so focused right now on stopping Donald Trump and stamping out the America First movement within the party that they're willing to sacrifice it all to accomplish that goal. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. May I tell you about Life Change Tea? I drink a glass of this every single day. It's absolutely delicious. It's natural. It's a gentle cleanse, and you're going to love it. It's got 12 herbs, comes in 3 delicious flavors, pomegranate, peppermint, and natural. Life Change Tea, it's been around since 2007, made right here in the USA. It's summertime, and that's why I love drinking iced tea. Go to GetTheTea.com to order yours today. GetTheTea.com. Use the discount code Todd10. So get this. They're going to give you $10 off. You're going to be able to buy 3, get 1 free. They're going to throw in free shipping on top of that. That's over $50 in savings. So check out all of their great products. GetTheTea.com. Use the discount code Todd10. Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Todd Stearns here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, and the NAACP's sinister agenda. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone with Brandon Tatum and Vodi Bakum and Chad O. Jackson. Pre-order it today at SalemNow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD tomorrow at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com, SalemNow.com. So once again, Governor Ron DeSantis going full beast mode, and just like everybody else, he's disgusted with Anthony Fauci and how the government is handling all of this. Of course, Fauci says he's retiring. He ought to be fired, and he should have been fired a long time ago. Trump should have fired Fauci, and he should be in a jail right now. But anyway, here's what Ron DeSantis had to say about Anthony Fauci.
And I'm just sick of seeing him. I know he says he's going to retire. Someone needs to grab that little elf and chuck him across the Potomac.
Now, I do have one issue here. The issue is that the governor insulted the beautiful woodland creatures known as elves. I think they deserve a little bit better than that. But Governor, we get the point, and people are going bonkers now. Oh, how dare he? How dare that man advocate violence? Well, in honor of Dr. Fauci, I want to present from the vocal abilities of Jim Gossett an ode to Anthony Fauci.
And now the end is near, and I'll be leaving in December. And when Fauci is gone, I hope that people won't remember that I was such a fraud. Oh, how I lied in such a sly way. But more, much more than this, I did it my way. Fauci, I am. I wrote the book to play both sides and be a crook. I got big bucks
the vocal stylings of Jim Gossett exclusively on the Todd Starnes radio program. He's playing down in the Blue Room tonight, folks. Drinks are half price. Hey, got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, America. Sorry about that. I was trying to, Grace, I know. You think I was lollygagging and I wasn't paying attention to the clock, but I was on the Facebook live stream and a lot of people were weighing in and I was trying to have a couple of conversations with people, but someone said, Todd, Laura writes and says, Todd, what did you mean when you say you tip the check? Is that like 20%? No, that's not what that is. Laura, if the service is really good, I normally, if the bill is $20, I will tip $20. So that's what I meant by that. And look, it's just, you know, if you're able to do that, I think that's a nice thing for you to do because those folks work really hard. And another person wrote in and said, Todd, what was the name of that restaurant that was being attacked? It's Houston's restaurant in Memphis. So if you're driving through this part of the country, stop by and give them some of your business. They're good people. All right. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are honored to have you with us. Hour two of the show underway and a little bit of breaking news we are following. Of course, the FBI has to submit, the Justice Department has to submit their redactions to the Trump raid information. Also, new intel coming from whistleblowers within the FBI that agents were actually ordered not to probe Hunter Biden's laptop until after the 2020 election. Again, I have said this from day one. It is time to dismantle and defund the FBI and come up with something else because this is not working. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us from the great state of Illinois, Congresswoman Mary Miller. Congresswoman, hope you're doing good today.
I'm personally doing great, but I have to say I am in mourning for our country. And I want to thank you for the great work you're doing to speak out against tyranny and to get the truth out to the people.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Congresswoman. And, you know, we believe in being happy warriors here on this program. And I am a hopeful person, but I share your great concerns about the state of our country right now. And maybe if we could just, let's just jump in. We just talked about these FBI raids here and the attacks on the Trump administration, the Trump family. What is the end game here, you think?
I tell people all the time, in light of the left, the Marxists, if they could, they would. And right now they think they can weaponize the government against the American people, against President Trump. This is outrageous. Again, they're using the guise of, they're using the frivolous document preservation scheme to go after President Trump. And he is an amazing man. He is still a happy warrior. I think people have heard him say that if he would just go home and shut up, they would leave him alone, but he won't do it. He loves our country and he's continuing to fight the fight and they're going to go after him.
Now, you represent the 15th Congressional District there in Illinois, and I'm curious what you are hearing from your constituents after the president came out yesterday and announced this student loan. I'm calling it a transfer, not forgiveness, but loan transfer. What's been their reaction?
Oh, I've gotten text messages. People are very upset. This is reckless. It's illegal and unconstitutional. I think it's impeachable. President Biden took an oath of office agreeing to uphold the rule of law. There has been no bill. This has not been approved by Congress. And the other thing is everybody knows that he is not wiping out loan payments. He's transferring loan payments to the taxpayers. And it's so bad for our culture, for the moral character of our culture. It disincentivizes responsible, mature behavior that we want out of citizens. Many Americans saved and sacrificed for their children's college. They made payments on their student loans for years. They worked full-time. My children all worked full-time when they went to school. And they lived at home is another thing. People forfeited going to maybe a college of their choice. I mean, people sacrificed to either pay back their loans or not take loans out. Some people didn't even go to college because they couldn't afford it.
No, it's a great point. When I was in college, I worked full time at a legal newspaper, and my job was typesetting bankruptcy documents. It was tedious work, but you know what? It paid the bills, and you have to do what you have to do. And I'm concerned, Congresswoman, about what message this sends to future generations of young people.
Exactly. That's why I said it is really bad for the moral character of our country. It's incentivizing recklessness and irresponsibility. Again, it's nothing but redistribution of the wealth. We're not holding colleges and universities responsible. I do think after we take back the House, we need to have investigations or an investigation to why have we seen such a staggering increase in cost of college degrees, which we know it's because the government's involved. And also, the schools should be held responsible for the loans that they're giving out. I know for a fact I had a niece, my brother-in-law, her dad called out the university for over-exaggerating her future earning power. And he knew it. And they've lied to the students is another thing. And they're also incentivizing young people to go into these degrees, worthless humanities degrees, that they're not going to be able to get jobs in or pay these loans back.
If you go to college and you major in goat yoga or gender studies,
yeah,
you get what you deserve. And I know that you went to Eastern Illinois University.
Yes.
I went to a private Christian school in East Tennessee. But I can tell you, Congresswoman, that I suspect you did not have an infinity pool or private steakhouses where you could get lobster every day of the week at your school.
No, and I worked is the other thing. Even in college or in high school, I worked full time in the summer. I worked all through college with at least one job. I worked in a bubblegum factory.
Is that
and
right?
I worked from 3 in the afternoon till 3 in the morning because we got overtime hours, and then I had a part time job during the day. And my kids all worked. It's actually healthy to work. I'm not even saying it was bad for me. It was good for me. You learn so many lessons by working.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm curious, what flavor, what brand of bubblegum was it?
Back in that day, we were making Big League bubblegum chew and Mork and Mindy bubblegum record kind of thing. It was some subsidiary of Wrigley's, but I can tell you this, that I was nauseated for the first couple weeks of the job. The smell was, it was so sweet. And but anyway, it was a good experience. I can laugh about it now. But all my jobs have taught me something. And this is just outrageous. And the American people, the people that are pulling the wagon, are getting tired.
You're right. And it's leading to a very bad place in our history. And we've got to get that figured out. I mean, you're absolutely right. Congresswoman, before we let you go, I know you're a big supporter and defender of religious liberty. And I've got a column up on our website from Evanston, where the school district there had a convocation. They bring all the teachers and faculty together, no students, and they do this every year. And they invited a local minister to come and pray, and she actually prayed a blessing over the teachers. Somebody complained, and now the school district is apologizing for anyone who took offense at the religious nature of the Christian pastor's prayer. It's unbelievable what's happening these days.
Well, if that is where our public schools are today, I'm just telling parents that believe and fear God, it is time to abandon the public schools. And for those people that don't have children in public schools that are outraged over this kind of stuff, you need to step up to the plate somehow and help parents find alternative education. Be there. The churches need to be there supporting the community and helping parents find alternatives.
No, you're absolutely right. And Congresswoman, we're going to leave it there. I just want to say thank you for being a bold warrior for freedom and liberty. And you're welcome back on the program anytime.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
All right. Congresswoman Mary Miller from the 15th Congressional District there in Illinois. And she is a fierce warrior, folks, and she is a strong defender of President Trump. She's out there representing the people in her district. And you heard her, that if this is where we're going to go as a nation, where teachers are offended. As a matter of fact, I have the quote here. This is from the Evanston-Skokie School District. The superintendent wrote a letter apologizing to anyone who might have been triggered by the pastor's request for God to watch over the school district. And by the way, this is not some sort of a Billy Graham prayer. This was a straightforward, traditional prayer. I've got the prayer. I'm going to read it. Gracious and loving God, we come now at the dawn of another academic year in District 65 in Evanston. We are grateful for the gathering today and for the staff who are present, as well as those who are not able to attend. We ask now you look down upon every single employee of the district. We pray that you bless all support staff in every school. Bless every maintenance worker. Bless every teacher's aide and assistant. Bless every teacher and faculty member. Bless every assistant principal and principal. Bless all District 65 administrators, assistant superintendents, and the superintendent. All right, what is controversial about that? So the school district comes out and says, oh, we're so sorry. We apologize. We had no idea. And I'm going to read you the exact quote from the superintendent. We had no idea that the pastor would offer a prayer and reference a deity. Okay, well, if you don't reference a deity, it's just a nice chat with everybody's eyes closed. So there you go. I want to know who complained. Who was it that complained? And I'd be willing to wager a Chick-fil-A sandwich that was probably one of those woke, purple-haired, pronoun-confused chicks on TikTok. You know what I'm talking about? Probably defaulted on their student loan in 16th-century lesbian pottery studies. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Vicki writes in, Todd, I almost spit up my ice water in my car. Talking about the 16th century lesbian pottery studies. So, now there you go. Sorry about that. But at least it's ice water. It's not like it's a Baptist martini or a root beer. Grace, you and I were having a conversation yesterday. I didn't realize you were a big root beer aficionado.
I don't know about aficionado, but I know good root beer when I taste one.
Abita Springs root beer.
That one's good.
Best root beer in America.
Yeah, and you got to drink it out of the glass bottle. It doesn't taste as good out of the can. I don't know why.
You got to have it in the glass bottle. So I went to the Whole Foods again yesterday, parked in the same parking spot.
Todd!
It's really funny. I know I'm triggering people. But anyway, I walk in there and I got they have the cream soda in the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And I like going old school. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, the cream soda. I'm a big cream soda person. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing. I think that's wonderful. But it's funny because, the produce section at the Whole Foods is packed.
Oh, yeah.
But they got good stuff over there.
They do. I like Olipop, which is a
soda. It's called Olipop?
Yeah.
Like O-L-L or A-L-I? Like Ali?
O-L-I Pop.
Oh, I've never heard of that. All right.
It's healthy soda, though.
Come on, Grace.
It has, marshmallow root in it and ginger juice and
can I tell you something? Something traumatic happened the other day. You know, we've got a large staff here, and somebody brought in the Oreos, and I thought, oh, I love Oreos. And have you had the Mega Stuff Oreos?
I like the double stuff. Mega right. Stuff, it's a little too much cream for me.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So anyway, I'm eating, and I'm like, the cookie doesn't taste quite right. Something's a bit off. And then I realize it's one of these gluten-free Oreos.
Let me guess, it crumbled right in your
hand. It was just, I don't know.
Nothing held it together.
It was unfortunate. Why don't I just leave
travesty.
It at that? Yeah, I don't want to, you know.
Olipop and a gluten-free Oreo. Let's go.
I don't want to upset the lactose intolerant and gluten-free crowd on the same day. I've got to space
it
out.
Yeah, you've already. Two strikes.
Yeah, and the Dr. Oz people are still upset with me.
Yeah.
So we've got to
They're waiting in the wings.
We've got to space it out a little
space
bit.
Space the rage.
All right. There is another crazy teacher story I've got to share with you. This involves a third-grade teacher, ladies and gentlemen. This is from Naperville, Illinois. I don't know what's going on in Illinois these days, but the DuPage Policy Journal has the story. A third-grade teacher who is, I will say this, I don't know what his what his preferred pronouns are or any of that mess, but he presents himself in a very effeminate way. I will just, that is, I think, a fair way of saying it. Because I don't know what his preferences are, and I really don't care. But what he's doing in the classroom is bothersome here. So the teacher is encouraging little boys to become little girls. The teacher in this third grade classroom is asking children to not only announce their preferred pronouns, but also consider switching. So if you're a little boy, and it's specifically directed at the boys, he wants them to consider switching to the she pronouns. The teacher recently read a storybook to the class about a boy who likes princesses and fairies. The book is titled My Shadow is Pink, and it's the story of a little boy who is inspired to wear dresses by his big, burly, mustachioed father, who also wears a dress. Not a good look. We got the cover of the book. It's not a good look for the dad. So anyway, a parent complained about all of this, right? I mean, you're kind of concerned. Holy crap, what's going on in the kid's classroom? And the school district is now defending the teacher. They say there's nothing wrong with teaching kids about cross-dressing or transsexuality. That's a thing now. The school district says the lessons are meant to promote inclusiveness and student belonging. Well, can we all agree that that kind of crap does not belong in any public school classroom? That is perversion, ladies and gentlemen. It is not teaching. It is grooming. You got to pay attention to this. We're going to have the head honcho from Moms for Liberty on a little bit later on in the program. They are responsible for doing incredible work flipping school districts all over America. You better listen to that interview. You got to listen to it because this is where the fight is. It's not in Washington, D.C. If we're going to fix D.C., we got to fix what's happening in our local schools first. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. This got a long note from one of our listeners. Her name is Patricia Morales, and Patricia is hanging out with us on the Facebook live stream. And folks, you can actually listen to us in many different ways. You can watch us on the toddstearns.com. You can also go to the Facebook streams. Rumble, Gatter is a big popular location for us. Here's what Patricia had to say. Todd, I went to college full-time to receive a teaching degree while working full-time at an elementary school. I also worked part-time at a fabric store. I was a single mother raising four children. I remember being exhausted with all the responsibilities of being a single mom, working a teaching job without the teacher's pay since I wasn't fully credited. and taking time away from my children to complete my homework and studies. I knew that taking out school loans would require me to pay them back at some point, so I refrained from borrowing money until my last school year. I made that choice to move out of the high crime area my kids and I were living in. I needed the money to be able to pay the higher rent. I also had to pay a babysitter for the evenings and weekends I worked at the fabric store. We didn't have much. We ate lots of beans and rice. I felt awful because my kids wore thrift store and hand-me-down clothes. I eventually paid off my student loans. It took a few years. I am now a retired school teacher, and thank God for his goodness. Well, Patricia, you're a good lady, and what a great mom you are, and a great American patriot, because you did it the right way. My recommendation to all you millennials out there, ease up on the brunches, ease up on the avocado toast, and ease up on the trips to the Starbucks for the mocha, venti, whatever, yappity, yappity, yappity that they sell over there. That's my recommendation. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We are very honored to have a long-standing relationship and partnership with Liberty University. They are raising champions for Christ, and we were honored to have a number of student workers that are a part of this program. And they're doing research and writing stories, just great students. And one of them we are especially fond of actually interned in our Memphis, Tennessee studios over the summer. His name is Alan Morrow, or as he is listed on my rundown, the Alan Morrow. And he is coming to us live from our studios at Liberty University. Alan, how's it going?
Todd, I'm doing well. It's so good to be on with you today.
And, of course, you have the great distinction of actually handling the phone when former President Trump called in.
I did, and that has been my favorite story to tell from my experience in Memphis. I got to do a lot of really exciting things, but when I tell people I talked to President Trump on the phone, I always get a great reaction, and I love telling the story.
And you also did a couple of parodies. I mean, you've got a pretty mean Donald Trump impression.
Thank you so much. I had fun doing the impression. I always do it when I tell the story.
All right, Alan, we know we've got you working on a couple of stories, and folks, you can see Alan's his byline over at toddstarnes.com, and he's got a lot of terrific stories. One involves a Christian college that was forced to house men in women's dormitories. Alan, what's the backstory there?
That's exactly right. So this is College of the Ozark, and it's a Christian school in Missouri. And early on in the Biden administration, Biden sent out an executive order that essentially made it so that colleges and universities had to, they couldn't, quote, discriminate against people who, based on their gender identity or sexual orientation, without losing compliance of the Fair Housing Act. And College of the Ozarks partnered with Alliance Defending Freedom to sue and get this reversed and say that it violated their religious freedom. And the case was actually thrown out. They said that the college did not have standing to sue. And right now, as it stands, you know, the federal government could come into a Christian university, like where I am right now at Liberty, and say that they have to house a man who identifies as a woman in a female dorm.
And yet they would not have any recourse? I mean, it seems to me, you know, for example, Liberty University, you guys have certain rules and regulations, and everybody has to follow those rules and regulations.
Absolutely. And you sign a statement when you come to the school saying you abide by the honor code and you agree with the mission statement. So it's really something. No one's forced to go to College of the Ozarks. No one's forced to go to Liberty University. So it's really alarming to see the left coming in and targeting these Christian universities and the Biden administration with things like this that are really scary for religious liberty all over the country. And it has implications that go well beyond just colleges. Any private business, any church, they're trying to push this agenda. And it's really a scary thing that people need to know about.
All right. Alan Morrow is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line in our Liberty University studios. Alan, another story you've got up at toddstarnes.com. There's a very disturbing issue coming out of Yale University where they're trying to convince people that that children as young as 3 years old should be taught about gender identity and maybe gender medical intervention. What's that all about?
Yes, Todd, this story is particularly disturbing. A video has gone viral that shows Yale University's pediatric gender program director boasting about treating children as young as 3 years old with medical intervention on their, quote, gender journey. Her name is Dr. Christy Olesky, and she leads the program. And she was really proud of this in this video that was posted by Yale Medicine on YouTube. And she smiles into the camera and says that she loves her job. It's really something that you have to watch to see this. I recommend everyone should get on the website right now and check it out and see this video where she boasts about this, treating three-year-olds with this gender-affirming care.
It's pretty despicable. I mean, again, these are true medical issues, and I find it hard to believe anybody that young even knows what gender is. But it seems to me that if you're going to be making those kinds of decisions to have surgeries and to mutilate these children, that is something that is, I mean, that is something incredibly serious and something that needs to be discussed when that person is 17, 18, 19 years old, not when they're 3 or 4 years old.
Absolutely. It's beyond me that anyone thinks that people should do this to three-year-olds. This means that parents can take their three-year-old toddler to Yale, and Dr. Olesky can pump them full of hormones, have them undergo surgeries, and really, I mean, this is stuff that is irreparable. This is stuff that could make them never be able to have children, and later down the line, if they decide they don't like the decision that someone made for them when they were 3 years old, they may have to deal with lasting effects forever.
Mm. All right. It is a fascinating story, and you're right. The video is incredibly disturbing. Folks, you got to check that out at toddstearns.com. All right, Alan, things going good at Liberty?
It's going great, Todd. I missed everybody in Memphis, classes are going really well. I'm just about finished with my first week, and I'm an RA, a resident assistant on a hall here at Liberty. I'm having a great time. I miss all the barbecue, though, there. I haven't had any food here that was nearly as good. The dining hall just isn't the same as Memphis barbecue.
I understand. Look, I get it. I get it. So we're going to get you back over in these parts. Alan Morrow, ladies and gentlemen, the Alan Morrow, our great intern at Liberty University. All right. Thanks, Alan. Study hard.
Thanks, Todd. See ya.
All right. There you go. The whole Gracie was really popular with the staff. Everybody really had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, he picked up our lunches. That was nice.
No, not all the time.
I'm kidding. No, we loved Alan. We still love Alan, and we miss Alan. So he needs to come down here on fall break or something. Need to go up there and see him.
Road trip to Lynchburg.
Sounds good to me. I've never been there.
Let's do it. It's like it takes 78 hours to get there.
Whoa. Can we fly?
It's in the middle. No, you don't want to fly.
Oh.
So they flew me down. I was speaking at convocation once, and this is when I lived in New York City. And they said, you know, they've got a flight school there.
Yeah.
So you can study aviation and aeronautics. Incredible program. And they said, we're going to send one of the planes up to get you. And so I flew over to, it's in Teterboro, which is directly across the river, the Hudson River from New York City. And there's an airport there, and that's where you have all the private planes. Loved it. Got on board the plane, and it wasn't that large of a, it was a jet. And it wasn't that large of a jet. So even though I was seated back in the passenger's compartment, you know, I had a pretty good clear view of the pilot and the co-pilot. So anyway, it was incredibly windy. Lynchburg in the mountains. And we're coming in for the approach. And it was like we were going from one side to the other. It was like back and forth like we were on a swing set.
That's
coming
terrifying.
In for a landing. And that was the last time I ever flew to Lynchburg, Virginia.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm like,
fair enough.
Not going to do that. Don't want to tempt fate.
Yeah, probably so. Not.
All right. We got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Monitoring a couple of things here. The hearing involving the document surrounding the Trump Mar-a-Lago raid. Also, the White House holding a press briefing. President Biden may be coming out to speak later today. We'll keep you updated on all that stuff as well. This is the Todd Stearns Show. right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio show. I wonder if there are any folks out there listening who made the decision not to go to college. And I'm curious how that worked out for you. Was that a good decision for you not to go to school? Were you able to claim your American dream even though you did not go to school? 844-747-8868. Again, our toll-free telephone number, that's 844-747-8868. I want to go back to, this was back during the primaries, the Democrat primaries. And Elizabeth Warren got confronted by a guy. This happened in Iowa. And it was on this issue of student loans. You know, that was a big debate during the Democrat primaries. Take a listen.
I just want to ask one question. My daughter's getting out of school. I saved all my money. She doesn't have any student loans. Am I going to get my money back?
Of course not.
So you're going to pay for people who didn't save any money, and those of us that did the right thing get screwed.
No, it's not even that got screwed.
Of course we did. My buddy had fun, bought a car, went on vacations. I saved my money. He made more than I did. But I worked a double shift, worked extra. My daughter worked, she was 10. So you're laughing. Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. We did the right thing, and we get screwed.
I appreciate it.
The guy's right. They did the right thing and they got screwed. Somebody asked me on the social media pages, what about parents? What about parents who loaned their kids money to go to college? Are the parents eligible to get that $10,000 back? No, I don't think so. I think it's just with the government. So, well, sorry to say that. There was an interesting race in New York State. We've been warning you for quite some time about the rise of socialism, and it's not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. By the time you figure it out, it's going to be too late, which is why I wrote my book, Culture Jihad, back in 2019. The book is still doing incredibly well because it lays out the plan of the socialist and what they plan to do to this country. Kristen Gonzalez is a socialist. She is a member of the Democratic Socialist of America, and she just won the Democratic primary for a Senate district in New York State. And I want you to hear what she had to say to a group of supporters after she won. Cut two.
I know we're saving the speeches for a little later, but today we really proved that socialism wins. We are not going anywhere, and we will not stop until we see a socialist slate across this city.
And you better believe her. You better believe her. She is incredibly attractive. She's very well put together. She's not one of these slobs, you know, that sleeps in some sort of a cardboard whatever. She looks like somebody that you would go to church with. And that's how it's going to happen, folks. They're going to come after all of us. I was sent some video last night of a Democrat meeting in Germantown, Tennessee, which is where I live. It was a very conservative community. I mean, people evacuated Memphis. They moved to Germantown. And now the Democrats are trying to covertly take over Germantown. Someone sent me some video. And we had a guy named Brent Taylor on the show yesterday. And he did very well for himself. He came up up from the bootstraps kind of a guy and made a lot of money, lived the American dream, retired. Now he's running for the state office, for the state Senate. And at this meeting, they said that this man should be ashamed because he earned money and that he should have given his money away to people who need things. The video, and what we're going to try to compile this because there's something going on here. And you need to hear, they're declaring war on people like you who are going out and earning a living and being successful in life. And then they said at this meeting that all Republicans are bad. All Republicans are evil. This is happening in the red state of Tennessee, Germantown, Tennessee, where that's happening. Pay attention, folks. The socialists are on the move. Let's go to Andy, WLOB, the Big Lobster in Maine. Hey, Andy, what's up?
How you doing, Todd?
Good, thank you.
Well, I didn't go to college, Todd. I went to work, and I've made a success, successful career doing municipal water and sewer. Nowadays, you can almost name your own price because they don't have anybody that wants to do this type of work anymore.
Boy, you're not kidding about that, Andy. We had a little plumbing issue here in the building a couple of months back, and you're right. They charge a pretty penny because it's just hard to find anybody these days.
We make darn good money, good retirement, good benefits. I mean, how can I kick?
Was it a hard decision for you to make, Andy, or did you pretty much know what you wanted to do?
I knew I wasn't cut out for school, so I went to work. I've worked full-time since I was 15 years old. And yeah, I've had some tough financial times in the past, but I've had to work two jobs sometimes to get by, but it worked.
And why did you do that, Andy? Why did you work two jobs?
To pay my bills.
There you go.
I'm not going to take a handout.
Yeah. And Andy, that used to be how an overwhelming number of Americans felt. You know, they didn't want a handout. You know, going on welfare was something you did as the last resort. And now you have families that are actually generations of families that are living and growing up in public housing and living on welfare.
Yeah, it's not something to be proud of. I know that.
Well, Andy, you sound like a good man, and we appreciate the hard work you're putting in to make this country great, and thank you for listening to WLOB. I know Ray Richardson and the team over there greatly appreciate that. We're going to have to let you go because we got to take a break for the news. Coming up in the next hour, you're going to want to stick around for this. We're going to be talking to the president of Moms for Liberty. This group of moms single-handedly overturned a number of school districts and school boards in the state of Florida on Tuesday. And I want to find out how they did it so that we can get that information out there so you can do the same thing in your communities. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hello, America. Welcome. Hour three of the big show underway. Grace, you looking at me?
I mean, I'm facing you. I kind of
have
to
looking
look at
me? Why are you staring at me?
Because you're the host, and I'm listening to you talk.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, never mind.
Am I off the hook now?
No, no. You put a story in my stack of stuff here, and I'm a bit perplexed by it. So there is an Australian nightclub, and they're going to. So have you ever been in a restaurant? Or this happens to me a lot. Where you're in a restaurant or you're in some sort of a social public setting and somebody stares at you.
Yeah, and you're like forced to make eye contact.
And it's kind of weird, yeah. So you avert the glance, or if I'm at the Cracker Barrel, I'll just raise the menu up a little bit.
Or you're sitting there and you're like, do I know that person? Or am I just, weirdo staring at
or
me?
Or I'm about to die. You know, somebody, you never know.
Wow, I've never gone that far, but.
Well, you haven't lived my life.
Yes, not.
So it's a little different when you're in the public sphere.
That's true.
So anyway, and that happens to me a lot, is that somebody will be staring at me, and normally, sometimes they'll just come over and ask, are you, you know, are you Ed McMahon, or, you know, are you Drew? Actually, I've been mistaken for Drew Carey back when I had different glasses.
Really?
Yeah, the guy from The Price is Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know who that
it's
is.
True.
Most of the time when people are staring at me, I have Merlot with me, and they're like, I've never seen a Dalmatian. I didn't know they were real.
Yeah, okay, there you go. I had two young ladies. I think they were probably college co-ed girls. They were fairly young. And they come running up. And they go, oh, we're just huge fans of yours. Can we get your autograph? And I'm like, well, sure. Happy to do so. And she goes, oh, I just love it when you're on The Price is Right and the Showcase Showdown and Plinko.
Oops.
So I said, you know, best wishes, have a great life, love, Drew.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I did.
You signed for Drew.
Too, yeah. I mean, I didn't want to disappoint them. Oh. So now they've got a, I guess they have a fake Drew Carey.
Maybe they sold it on
autograph.
eBay.
I hope they made some money on that. So anyway, so we've all kind of been in those situations where somebody's staring at you and it's just kind of like a, you know.
Awkward.
It is a little awkward. But now it's going to be illegal. In Australia, a nightclub is now banning patrons from staring at each other unless the person gazing on the other person has been granted specific prior verbal consent.
How on earth do you get verbal consent to stare at somebody? Does that mean like, so, you know, it's supposedly polite when you're talking to somebody to look them in the eye, but now I guess you just need to look at the floor.
So you're basically shielding your eyes. Excuse me, ma'am, do you mind if I just stare at you across the aisle there? Is that okay?
I was trying to figure out what, you know.
That seems to be creepier than just staring at somebody.
That seems way creepier.
So the venue says that guys are doing this trying to pick up girls.
Staring at them. Yeah, men have been doing that for centuries.
Yeah, kind of.
And it
yeah,
doesn't work half the time, and half the time it works.
I'm fairly certain of that. Club 77 is in the heart of Australia's biggest city. That would be Sydney. The policy made public on Instagram. The club is adding safety officers in pink vests. I'm not sure that actually, you know, would put fear into the hearts of the staring person.
Probably not.
But they do have a no staring mandate. That's kind of like, what is it? Is it Planet Fitness or Crunch or one of those? And they have a no grunting policy. Have you heard about that?
Oh, I have heard about that.
So you go to some of these workout venues and, you know, you got the big, big dudes.
Yeah.
And just to kind of show off, you know, they're lifting, you know, 1,000 pounds and they're grunting and heaving and huffing and puffing, and you're not allowed to do that or they'll throw you out. It's Planet Fitness, I think.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Producer Kyle is shaking his head yes.
And it is kind of, I mean, look, I mean, if you're trying to bench press, you know, a lot of weight, I guess you're going to let out some sort of unnatural sounds.
Yes.
But I'm not quite sure. But anyway, I guess that's along the same vein.
Seems really hard to enforce. So the staring police have to stare at people to catch them staring at other people. So then aren't they breaking the rule too?
Oh, that's a good thought. You see, that's your college degree put to good use right
there.
Your
taxpayer dollars
well
at
done.
Work.
So conservative groups are condemning Walmart. Walmart has announced that they are going to fund employee abortions. They're also going to pay for staffers to travel to other states to get their abortions. So in some states, it's against the law now to have an abortion. Conservative groups are condemning Walmart's funding of woke policies, warning that no self-proclaimed conservative or conservative organization should accept funding from Walmart while it supports the policies of the woke left. Now, this is interesting because a lot of you folks that are very conservative, very pro-life, you go shop at the Walmart. A letter was sent to the president of Walmart slamming the nation's largest retailer for paying for employee abortions. The list includes a CPAC executive board member William Walton, Penny Nance, former Senator Jim DeMint, the Heritage Foundation, Marjorie Dannenfelser from the Susan B. Anthony list. They say, surely, as board members with a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders, you must understand the Walmart's increasingly woke policies are alienating millions of your customers who will take their business elsewhere. Your founder, Sam Walton, would be appalled. Well, I guess that's true. No doubt Sam Walton would be appalled. But Walmart's been doing this for a long time. Do you think people would boycott Walmart over this? I don't think they would. I really don't. As a matter of fact, I don't think, for the most part, and I say that because look at how many church groups are still going to Disney World. You know what I mean? I mean, I know these Christian groups, they talk the big talk, but when it comes time to actually doing something, they really don't do anything. I mean, look at Target. You know, if you're a man, you can go into a women's dressing room there. A lot of Christians, a lot of church groups still shop at Target. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just jilted. I've seen these kinds of, you know, I've seen this outrage and the umbrage and the indignation over and over and over again. But at some point, you got to put a little bit of, you know, action to the words. You know what I mean? I mean, I go out of my way, if at all possible, not to shop at Walmart. I've been to Walmart exactly since I've been back home in Memphis, Tennessee, which is, what, 2.5 years now. I've been to Walmart once. That's it. Well, yeah, I have been to Target a time or two. I've also been to Home Depot and Lowe's. I just try not to go into the dressing rooms. You know what I mean? It's you stay out of that. All I'm saying is you can boycott yourself to only so far. You still have to be able to go shop and buy things. And I try to do that as much as possible with local businesses, a local hardware store, local clothing stores, and things of that nature. But all I can say is all you church groups that are still going and shopping at Walmart, you're paying for these abortions. And I hate to be that blunt about it, but that's where we are. 844-747-8868. Is our telephone number. The governor of New York State is now encouraging people to use social media to go after conservatives. But she doesn't say the word conservative in this press conference. I want you to hear cut number 5.
We also talked about, I mentioned social media a number of times. I've called upon and working closely with our attorney general to identify what's going on in social media. Those questions are now part of our background checks. Just like in the old days, you'd talk to someone's neighbor. Now you can talk to their neighbors online and find out whether or not this person has been spouting philosophies that indicate that they have been radicalized. And that's how we protect our citizens as well.
Uh-huh. So those of you that are conservative, you've been radicalized. Now, this is a rather timely piece of audio because I was talking to the staff a few days ago. I have joined a new platform called Nextdoor, and you're able to meet your neighbors and people in the community, stay in, at least from my vantage point, I want to know where the next carjacking was. So crime news, all that kind of stuff. And when I got on the Nextdoor, and people were like, wait a second, are you Todd Starnes from Fox News? And I said, yes, I am. So we've got hundreds of people that are following me over on Nextdoor. And so I put out a story about a local incident, and nothing nefarious. I just said, here's what happened. And Grace Baker, I'll be doggone if I haven't been banned from Nextdoor.
No, you haven't.
I have been banned from Nextdoor.
I've never heard of that happening, but you are banned off of LinkedIn as well.
I'm banned for life on LinkedIn, and all I did there was share a story you wrote.
I know. It's my fault.
Thanks a lot, Grace Baker.
But I didn't. Hey, this time is not my fault. Just want to point that out. But you get banned from the weirdest websites.
It's so strange. So anyway, banished because I wrote something, and I know what it was. So we had a school board superintendent here in town, and this guy was a pervert. His name is Dr. Joris Ray. His wife left him, and in the divorce proceedings, all this stuff came out that he was, how shall I say this politely? He was buying the goods.
Oh, I was going to say cavorting about.
Oh, he was. He was cavorting.
Doing more
with,
than that, probably.
With some of the employees. And so they put him on leave. They spent $19,000 to investigate. Then the guy says, you know what? I think I'm just going to resign. They should have fired the guy because he broke all sorts of rules and regulations. But instead, the school board gets together unanimously. They say, we're going to pay, instead of firing this guy and calling the authorities to make sure that criminal acts haven't taken place, we're going to let the guy resign. We're going to give him $480,000 in cash. We're going to stop the investigation. So they just squandered $19,000 right there. We really don't want to know what happened. And we're going to keep the guy on a retainer to help us find the next school superintendent. That's Memphis, Tennessee politics. So anyway, I shared a story about that, and I was banned from Nextdoor. So they said they're going to reconsider it in a week or so. We'll see what happens. But they just don't want you having the truth coming out. That's the problem they've got over there. Anyway, I wish I could say I was surprised by the governor of New York, but no doubt they're using social media to target people and to silence any opinions they find offensive. That's it. By the way, our parody guru, the great Paul Shanklin, wanted to pass along this information. I guess Dr. Fauci was listening to an earlier segment in the program. Let's take a listen to what Paul got.
Now a message from the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and the chief medical advisor to the president.
Hello, this is Dr. Anthony Fauci. While the rest of you are discussing the merits of Joe's student loan forgiveness on the Todd Starn Show, I thought it would be a good time to pack up my desk and head into retirement. But have no worries. Even though I'm gone, I'll still be in touch with my associates in the gain-of-function department at the Wuhan Institute, helping them in any way I can. So many different bat viruses, so little time. Goodbye and good luck.
All right, so there's been a lot of controversy over Joe Biden's daughter. Her name is Ashley Biden. The whole family is messed up, and it's a sad thing. Nobody wants that, but clearly some really freaky and possibly, well, I don't want to say criminal behavior, but I'm just surprised that the Department of Family and Children's Services doesn't have Joe Biden's home address memorized. Why don't we just leave it at that? So there were some shocking allegations in the diary that was, they say it's stolen, and two people were actually arrested and charged with the theft of the diary. But the issue now is, really, was it stolen? According to the Daily Mail, the diary was actually found under a mattress in Palm Beach, Florida, at a halfway house. So Ashley Biden was in rehab. No, I told you, yes, she had a drug problem, too. I'm telling you, the family's messed up here, folks. Something really creepy, something so traumatic happened in that household that the kids just went bonkers. So anyway, somebody found the diary under a mattress, and there were all sorts of crazy details about her drug use, sex addiction, and how she was hypersexualized. And then in the diary, and she wrote about this, "I remember having sex with friends at a young age, showers with my dad, probably not appropriate." So she wrote about having, taking a shower with her father, who is the president of the United States. And we all know what happens when you take a shower. You take your clothes off. You get into the shower, and then you suds up. That's what you do in the shower. And we have to imagine that's exactly what Miss Biden is suggesting happened with her own father. And, of course, everybody's denying that any of this is legit, right? They're denying it was legit. Well, the diary came to light because the person who found it sold it to Project Veritas for $40,000. And so now Amy Harris, the person who found the diary, was being investigated by the FBI, and the Bidens say that the diary was stolen in a burglary. Well, this item just in from the Associated Press, and we'll try to get details, but two people just pled guilty to federal charges in the theft of a diary belonging to Joe Biden's daughter. So the fact that two people just pled guilty verifies the legitimacy of the diary, and you have to assume the contents inside the diary. And if that's the case, I would love for somebody starting right now to ask Miss Jean-Pierre exactly why President Biden back in the day was getting buck naked and taking a shower with his daughter. Seems to me that's a pretty darn legitimate story. because the FBI was making up stories about President Biden taking the golden, or President Trump taking the golden showers with the hookers in the Russian hotel. And that all turned out not to be true. It was all fake news. But here we have a very disturbing, real story alleging horrific things involving the President of the United States. And you do wonder, I mean, this was in her diary. You wonder what the enemies of this nation know about Joe Biden and that messed up family of his. Seems to me some enterprising journalist would want to be asking questions about that. By the way, that diary suggests that Ashley Biden was abusing drugs during the presidential campaign of 2019. I mean, you hate to ask this question, but I mean, this is a president who once bragged about inviting children to fondle his leg hairs. Something's not right there, people. All right, got to take a break. Throw up. We'll be right back. So look, a big story from this week happened in the great state of Florida, where a number of school districts, major metropolitan area school districts, talking about Duval County, that's Jacksonville, Sarasota, and Miami-Dade, where you had school boards that flipped from liberal to conservative. And not a lot of folks were talking about this. We were watching this like a hawk on election night, and it really was a reason to celebrate. And one of the reasons why, and got to give credit to some of the local media down there in Florida, because they gave credit to a group called Moms for Liberty. They have been out there, and they are fighting for our kids. They're standing up for parental rights, and they are making an incredible difference. And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and one of the founders of Moms for Liberty joins us, Tiffany Justice. Tiffany, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me. What a great week it's been in Florida for Moms for Liberty members and for kids all over the state.
Yeah, you know, and the great thing about what you guys are doing is this needs to be happening in every city, every town across America. And you guys started there. I mean, I want you to tell our listeners the backstory, because you're a mom of four school-aged kids. And back in 2016, you decided to step up to the plate.
Yes, sir. So in 20, I am a mom of four kids, 17 to 10, one girl, three boys. Tina Deskovich, the co-founder of Moms for Liberty, has five children, she and her husband together. And we both served on school board in 2016. We both separately, we didn't even know each other, both decided to run for school board and served four-year terms, where we like to say we saw behind the education curtain, and we certainly did. And then all of America got to see behind the education curtain during COVID. And parents were very concerned about what their kids were being taught or what their kids were not being taught. And so what you see now is parents reclaiming public education in Florida and then across the country. So we started January of 2021 with Moms for Liberty. We started with two chapters in our home districts with moms who we had watched advocate for their kids throughout COVID were sitting across from us in the audience when we were on the dais. And it was just great. Now we have 215 chapters in 40 states with over 100,000 members.
That's just fantastic. And we need more and more chapters. MomsForLiberty.org. That's MomsForLiberty.org. And we also have a link on our live show blog. Tiffany, let's talk about what happened on Tuesday. Why and how were you guys able to flip these school board seats?
I'm very thankful that the media did give credit where credit's due with the moms and dads on the ground. So we, again, started with two chapters in Florida, and we've grown significantly across Florida with many, many chapters now across the state. And so our chapters in January began working together across the state and worked in the legislative committee. And they supported five different bills that they followed through the legislature. And then eventually the governor did sign all five into law. So that was a great thing for the moms to come together across the state and do. So school board elections were the next thing that were up. And our moms have been working on the ground to find candidates to run, to vet the candidates that were running, to endorse those candidates. Our Moms for Liberty political committee here in Florida We raised money in that political committee, and we supported the candidates that have been endorsed. And then we helped Governor DeSantis and groups like 1776 PAC to be able to identify who the real people were on the ground, because we trust the moms in these counties. They've been keeping lists. We say they checked them twice when they went to the ballot box, and we wanted to make sure that people were putting their money where their mouth is. A lot of people tell you they'll run for things or that they'll do things when they get in office, but our moms took the time to really get to know these candidates. And what you saw was 43 different candidates win, supported Moms for Liberty supported candidates, which is just amazing. And as you said, you've got some very large school districts. Miami-Dade's one of the largest in the entire country, flipped now to the majority parental rights members. And Sarasota as well, and Duval and Clay, and what you're going to see going forward is a complete new direction for these school districts, where parental rights are recognized as being fundamental, and parents' position in the driver's seat of their children's education is fully cemented in these areas. And I think that's going to have an effect on every other district in Florida. And now we expect to, now our plan is to take what we learned to do in Florida and what we worked through. And now we're going to take it across the country. So moms and dads and school board members, if you're thinking about running across the country, Moms for Liberty chapters are doing the same thing they did in Florida. We're coming to a state near you, and we're going to be able to make this change all over the country.
And let me jump in here, Tiffany. I'm curious to know about Governor DeSantis. How important was that for the governor, not just to give lip service, but to really get involved? And what sort of an impact did that have on those school board races?
It was huge, to be honest with you. I mean, I've heard it said it was one of the riskiest things he's done. I absolutely think it was one of the riskiest things he's done, because really governors haven't really performed in this space. They've never done this before, to endorse school board candidates. But his team took the time to endorse candidates. They got to know them. They asked our moms' opinions on the ground and other parents. And so I think it made a huge difference just for him to show that he recognizes the importance of parents. He recognizes the power that that local control of the school board has. And you know, he very directly felt, and we all felt very directly on the ground when we had 12 school districts in the state of Florida that ignored the governor saying that masks couldn't be forced on kids and that parental rights couldn't be ignored. And so I think it's just, you know, Governor DeSantis puts his money where his mouth is, again, to use that. He really does, you know, he really does support people on the ground. In the last push before election season, I mean, before the election, I'm sorry, the primary election on Tuesday, he was out over the weekend visiting different school board members he had endorsed, rallying communities to get out and vote. So, you know, we're incredibly thankful for having his support in making sure that parents' voices are heard in their children's education.
Tiffany, just as one of the co-founders of Moms for Liberty on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, momsforliberty.org, if you want to get information on starting a chapter in your community, in your city. And Tiffany, I have to brag on the local chapter in the Memphis, Tennessee area where this program originates. We have the Shelby County division of Moms for Liberty, and those ladies are out there. They're fighting in the front lines, and even in a conservative part of America like Tennessee, unfortunately, we have liberals on the school board, and they're shoving down the, you know, they embrace the mask mandates. They've shut moms and dads out of the decision making. They're shoving this radical sex and gender theology and CRT down the throats of kids in a conservative district. And I think a lot of people might be surprised that this kind of stuff is even happening in conservative enclaves.
I think a lot of people would be surprised. The same thing as it was happening in Florida, and Governor DeSantis is very open and direct about that. You know, teachers unions have paid a lot of attention to school boards for many, many years. And the teachers unions really, in my opinion, I call them the K-12 cartel, have become the political arm of the progressive far left. And they've invested a lot of money into school board races across the country, and Florida was no exception to that. And so that's why I think you see you have very liberal school boards, conservative areas, because people haven't paid attention to school boards as much as we should. But that's the reason why we are where we are with public education in America. And we are seeing this indoctrination happening and the focus not being on education and giving children practicable skills that they can use in life to be successful. And so Moms for Liberty is focused on taking back public education. We are taking back school boards one by one. And then those school board members are going to be supported by groups like the Leadership Institute and others who are going to help give school board training so that new policies can be introduced into these school boards so that we ensure that parental rights are respected and we get this woke ideology and nonsense out of our kids' schools.
You see, I love this, and I love the grassroots component here. And just to clarify, yes, it's Moms for Liberty, but this is for moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, friends. You know, we all have skin in this game.
Yeah, we recognize that moms are a very important part of families. And so we are moms, so we are Moms for Liberty. But you're absolutely right. We have dads and grandparents. Lots of different types of people, people who don't even have kids, right? Who just care about their community. They love America. They don't like the fact that kids are going to school and being taught to hate our country or there's something that's horribly wrong that can never be fixed about our country, that there's no redemption for people in our country. And so, you know, the truth of the matter is that Americans across party lines, across racial division, across religious division, all of the different ways that their elites, in my opinion, are trying to divide us and keep us separate. Moms and dads are coming together for our kids and putting our children first. And so school boards are one way that you can do that. If you have school board elections that are happening in your area, look to support those candidates that Moms for Liberty is endorsing. Help those Moms for Liberty chapters to support those candidates and to vet those candidates. Because truly, everyone has a role to play here in fighting for the survival of America. And starting with our school boards and education, our kids are the future. Is the right place to start.
And Tiffany, and again, folks, Tiffany Justice, Moms for Liberty on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tiffany, let's just say we've got a lot of listeners in the Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Salem, Oregon area. What would they need to do if they wanted to be able to start a Moms for Liberty chapter?
I want you to go to momsforliberty.org. So you can click on that map and click on the state that you live in and see where the current chapters are. If you want to learn a little bit more about the chapters that are there, you can click on the chapter, and you can email the chapter chair, talk to them a little bit about their experiences being a part of Moms for Liberty, and then you can click to start a chapter.
Love it.
And
it's
when
that
you
simple.
It's so simple. And when you click to start a chapter, there's an interview process you're going to go through. You're going to need 10 like-minded people. You can't do this alone. You need to build an army of moms and dads around you to make these things happen in your community. But you just need to know that parental rights are fundamental and really believe that in your heart and believe that that's the future of America. If we don't have parental rights recognized as a fundamental right, something that the government does not give you, they cannot take that away. It's a natural right. We have nothing else if that is not recognized and we do not defend that. And so really that's where everything starts. And Moms for Liberty is trying to kind of, you know, hold the torch and lead America out of some of, again, this woke nonsense and this darkness into a better, brighter future for our kids.
Tiffany, you guys are doing the Lord's work, and it is important work in this country, and anything we can do to help on this radio program, you just let us know. We're so proud of you guys. Well done in Florida. And look, if you're going to have a chapter of the year, I want to nominate our local chapter in Memphis because they're working really hard to fight and clean up our local school boards, too.
That's awesome. And again, you know, reach out to your chapter. You can support them. They have lots of different programs and things they want to do in their community, and they're always looking for support from people. That's financial donations, but also time, writing letters to the editor. Everyone has a role to play here, and thank you for the time, Todd.
All right. Tiffany Justice, everybody. Moms for Liberty, fierce warriors and happy warriors as well, as they're fighting to take back our school boards. This was the thesis of two books I wrote. One was in 2015, the other 2019, that if we are truly going to fix what's broken in America, we got to start at the local school level. Once we do that, it's going to make it a whole heck of a lot easier. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. I'm curious, any Moms for Liberty out there, we'd like to hear from you to hear what kind of work you guys are doing. It's worked in Loudoun County, Virginia, the big victories in Florida. This is a great major movement that is facilitating change. And why are they doing it? Well, they've got a vision. They have a plan. The Republican Party, they don't have a vision. They don't have a plan right now. And without vision, the people perish, or in this particular instance, the party perishes. But Moms for Liberty, they've got a game plan, and they're implementing that game plan with great success. This is the Todd Stern Show. want to thank our friends over at Patriot Mobile, mobilizing freedom. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Folks, what are you waiting for? Change your wireless carrier right now. Patriot Mobile, they're pretty awesome, and they have great nationwide coverage, and they have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or how small. Now, get this. If you're a veteran or a first responder, maybe you need multiple lines, they're going to give you even greater discounts only because you're listening to the Todd Stearns radio program today. It is super simple. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you can give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972 and the word PATRIOT. You're going to get a special discount and free premier activation if you utilize my promo code, Todd, T-O-D-D. Again, that's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. All right, just to recap this bit of news, that two people now pleading guilty to federal charges for stealing Ashley Biden's diary, but in fact, it wasn't stolen. It was left behind at a rehab center in Florida. And in that diary, she alleges that she showered with her father, the president of the United States. Now, this is interesting because there's another story out regarding Hunter Biden's laptop and the FBI. Some whistleblowers are now telling Republicans on Capitol Hill that the FBI intentionally slow-walked Hunter Biden's laptop investigation. At one point, one of the whistleblowers says that FBI leaders, the uppity-ups, were told, you will not look at Hunter Biden's laptop. And all of the laptop intel we have seen, all of the contents that we have already seen, point to some severe criminal activity on the part of Hunter Biden. Makes you wonder, who does the FBI work for these days? Real quick, let's go to the phones. Dave in North Carolina. And Dave, I understand you have a plan to protect kids. What's the plan?
Well, actually, Todd, on your show, I mentioned a long time ago that after the Parkland shooting, I had mentioned on the Jim Bohannon show, a bunch of us who are retired military and law enforcement and everything else, we had gone out and said that we would volunteer to protect the schools. Nothing's coming since Uvalde. It's been, 4 months? Nothing. Now we got all these kids. Some are back in school. Everybody's getting ready to go back to school. I called out on your show for my representative here in the 3rd District to start impeachment over the fact that they will not protect these schools. Now, local law enforcement is doing stuff, but nationwide they're doing nothing except, oh, more kids are shot. Let's take the guns away. So they absolutely refuse. And Biden said he would not harden the schools. Anybody gets hurt, one child, one teacher, anybody in a school shooting incident, Biden needs to be charged with criminal negligence for absolutely refusing to protect those children.
And look, I hear what you're saying, Dave, but again, this goes back to how much control and authority do you want to give the federal government? Better yet, let's just make this a local issue. Let local officials decide those issues and not the federal government.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. My congressman out here, there hasn't been one thing about school safety come up, and so many people, I've heard it nationwide listening to different talk radio shows, people have said, I will volunteer to go to a school.
Who's your congressman, Dave?
Greg Murphy.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to reach out to Congressman Murphy's office, and we're going to find out why he's not talking about those issues and why he's not doing anything to help locals protect those schools. How about that?
That sounds great.
All right, we'll hold him accountable. Dave, we're going to get the answer for you. Appreciate it. We got to run. We're coming up on the end of the show here. Folks, it has been a great ride. Now, as is the case through the summer months, I'll be taking Friday off. Our good buddy Jeff Katz from WRVA in Richmond is going to be filling in tomorrow, and he'll take good care of you. You be good to Jeff. Give him a call. Say hello. Folks, ToddStearns.com. Bookmark that website. Go read the stories we've got. We have a wonderful team of journalists working to get you news and information. All right, be good, America.